debate, I told the American people why I'm running for president. I'm a public servant, a civil rights leader, and the second African-American woman in history to be elected to the United States Senate. At the core of my campaign is my 3 a.m. agenda, my plan to solve the issues that keep Americans up at night. I'll implement health care for all and even give middle-class families $500 a month right in their pockets. And let me tell you something, I'm just getting started.
Oh, yeah. Kamala Harris is just heating up. She's thinking about you late at night while you're trying to put that sweet, restless body of yours to bed. Is that $500 in your pocket, or are you just happy your health care is free? With Kamala, it's both.
Little column A, little column B.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
Yeah, baby!
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's took time we took a pause and thought about life, thought about the laws of gravity, times, changes, Pop-Tarts, veterans, politicians, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a little while. Well, I started it into this last week, but I got distracted by other stuff. While contemplating the way things have changed in a conversation with a friend, it was driven home to me again. Birds gotta fly, fish gotta swim, politicians gotta pander. That's what they do. What else is new? I'm right. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. Email Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. Of course, we're on the web. Use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to plausiblylive.com or thedavebowmanshow.com. It's the same website. Or look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Ego bibere capulus ad olive verve. I drink coffee so that others might live. Well, welcome to the first episode of the fake podcast. I don't know. There's just something about when a politician, especially one of the GOP stripe, who votes for laws that restrict freedom of speech and Second Amendment stuff, and wears a MAGA hat, calls somebody who challenges him a fake podcast. You just feel like you've accomplished something, you know? I pat myself on the back. Well done, Dave. Hey, you know, why actually address the content of what we're talking about when you can just call people names? I mean, that's always been my policy, right? Wait, it hasn't always been my policy. There you go. So I was talking with a friend over the weekend. I actually started into this last week about the Kamala Harris thing. Kamala Harris is she's a pandering politician. For those of you who don't know, she is the senator from the great state of California. Isn't that wonderful? She has a reputation, and I'm not even going to tell you the reputation. You can Google it yourself. She has a reputation for how she got to where she is, and it ain't because of her accomplishments, at least not in the political arena. Again, it's not me saying that. You don't have to go very far in California to find the answer to that. Kamala Harris last week suggested that, well, she was going to do something that she felt was necessary, she felt was apropos, she felt was correct, she felt was important, something that would make people feel good. She proposed VA benefits for vets with bad paper discharges. And we talked a little bit about this on Friday when we were talking about the other politician who can't get his shit together. We were talking about that in the sense that if you just listen to her words on the surface of it, it sounds really sensible, doesn't it? Sounds really, you know, I'm going to put $500 in your pocket. Middle-class families, I'm going to do all kinds of cool stuff for you. All you got to do is vote for me, and I'm going to do all this. And people like that. People like the sound of that. They hear these things, and they go, oh, that's cool. Can't wait for that. I can't wait for Kamala Harris to solve all of my problems, because clearly she's the gal to do it, right? It's only when you step back and think about this stuff for a minute, when you when you consider what she's actually saying versus what she means, that you start going, wait, what? How in the world is she going? Number one, how is she going to do that? But the problem is so many people aren't thinking in those terms. And the conversation with my friend had to do with why people don't think in those terms anymore, why they just seem to not, I don't know, culture has changed. The famous quote that is misattributed to Ovid, you know, times change, and the phrase is actually misapplied. The phrase is actually a Latin phrase that is misapplied. Tempora mutantur. It's a Latin adage, but it really didn't come into existence until 16th century Germany in the 16th century. But it tends to get attributed to Ovid, the poet, who had a lot of cool things to say. One of my favorites is you can always learn even from your enemies. But the phrase itself gets misapplied. It gets misinterpreted. Oh, times change. And therefore, things are going to be different and things are going to be bizarre. And I got to thinking about this over the weekend, and I spent a lot of time with my son, and my son now opens his own soda cans. He's accomplished that, and I know he's 9. He still can't tie his shoes. People keep telling me how smart he is, and number one, he consistently puts his shirts on backwards. Number two, he forgets to put on underwear. Forgets. And number three, he still can't tie his shoes. Did I say that? He can't tie his shoes. He still can't tie his shoes. But he can open his own soda cans now. And I got to thinking about that over the weekend in the middle of that conversation with my friend. And I was thinking about these things, pull tabs, whatever you want to call it. The pull tab, of course, is ancient. It is one of those things that you show it to kids nowadays. They don't have any clue what the hell that is. I mean, they might be able to figure it out contextually, but realistically speaking, they don't have any idea. And of course it's that famous line from the Jimmy Buffett song, Margaritaville. You stepped on a pop top, cut my heel, had to cruise on back home and drink another pitcher of margaritas, which is, you know, a good way to deal with breakups and stress and that sort of thing. But, I showed Ben a picture of this and he was confused by it. You know, how does that work? How does that open? What does that do? And so I had to show him pictures. This is the new generation now. Dad, show me a picture of this thing from the past. And so I had to show him pictures of old Coke cans. I love this picture. Anybody can figure out why? Can you figure out why? Do you see why I love this thing? I mean, number one, it's Coke. And I used to really love Coke. I still do. Just can't drink it. Warning, kids, it will cause you problems later on in life. But what I really like about this picture is the bottom of it, the rust along the bottom of the can. That was normal back when I was a kid. I mean, all cans had that. You had to wash your cans before you could drink out of it because it was always like that. And I showed him that and he was like, wow, that looks like it would be hard. And I don't necessarily remember it being hard. I do remember it being dangerous. Those things were sharp. And the other thing I remember is collecting them. Do you remember the girls that would make the necklaces out of them or the people that would collect the pop tops because they were going to turn them in for something? You remember all that? Weird. I don't know anybody that ever got anything from that, but there you go. Then I showed him this and they said, when I was your age, this is how we opened a pop can. This is how we did it. It's like, what? And so I had to show him these and the one on the left there, for those of you not watching the video, is the old, really old cans that you had to use the punch opener for. And I remember these very well. And I also know that one on the left is opened incorrectly. Both sides should not be the same. You made the one you were going to drink out of really big as it would be. And the one that was the vent, you only made about half that size or less. And that way, if you didn't put the vent one in, the stuff, you know, the Coke wouldn't come out really well. And he just, he was fascinated by that. He was just absolutely amazed by that whole idea that this is how we used to do this. This is how we used to drink soda. And it's still kind of mesmerizing. I had to show him pictures of Hessian militia, you know, mercenaries. He was reading a book about the American Revolution. And this is the way that he finds things in the from the past as he reads this stuff. And then we show him pictures of it. It's not unlike anthropology, archaeology, even paleontology to a degree. You have to take the things that they find and put them in a context that matches that time. If you tried to hand somebody a pop top can today, they would stare at you like, what the hell do I do with this? And they might figure it out because, again, contextually, it's not all that different from that. But you might find some surprise as they rip that thing off there and then try to figure out what to do with it. People that listen to the song Margaritaville, they don't. I'm constantly, I had to explain to someone the other day what that line about stepped on a pop top, cut my heel back, had to go on back home, had to head on back home and drink some more, you know, margaritas. And the person said to me, I've been listening to that song for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I didn't understand those lyrics. I didn't know what they were. You know how it is when you sing a song and the artists are getting the lyrics wrong. It's kind of become our attitude. I don't know what they mean, so I'm going to change the lyrics into something that, that makes sense to me. I'm going to change the lyrics into something that, that I like, something that, that, you know, works for me. And again, you know, when you're dealing with history, like I said, archaeologists, anthropologists, paleontologists, you have to take the things that they find and put them in context. And the context doesn't always work for our time, does it? Because the times have changed. And because we misapply that saying, we don't really necessarily understand what we're saying about things. Things have changed. I mean, history is constantly moving forward. The phrase sort of implies that, look, things are never going to be the same. It's hard for me to believe. I'm 56 now. I can tell because my bones are creaking even louder and I still can't hear out of my ear. I have no idea sometimes what anybody's saying to me. It's kind of nice being deaf in a way. I mean, it's just, I just ignore people. When they're, you're being rude, you say, no, I can't hear you. It just sounds like to me. Anyway, point being that in my lifetime, in my 56 years, the change in society, not just technology. I mean, I remember Ben was asking me what my favorite birthday, my favorite Christmas present was when I was a kid. It was a calculator. In my fifth grade, I got a calculator. It was a Tandy, simple calculator that now my iPhone has multiple programs that do. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's more memory in this thing, more computing power in this thing than the Apollo guidance computer had to go to the moon. Technology has changed. Has that changed us? Is it necessarily for the better? Is it necessarily for the worse? Times change. And as we sit there on our porch, drinking our margaritas, strumming our guitar, thinking about it, and we get up and we try to take part in the whole thing, do we cut our heels on a pop top and have to cruise on back home and drink some more? Kind of becomes the approach, you know, the old man sitting on the lawn, get off my lawn. I don't know. It's strange to me to think in those terms sometimes, but times change. But does that necessarily mean that the times have changed good or bad? You see what I'm driving at here? The times have changed, but what about me? And see, that's what the saying actually says. The complete saying, tempora mentantur nos est mentantur in illis, times change and we are changed with them. Are we the same person that we were, I don't know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago? I'm pretty sure I wasn't. I'm not. But what has changed about me in that amount of time? And how am I adapting to the fact that the times have changed? And some days I think to myself, well, I'm doing a pretty good job. I mean, I know how to use technology pretty good. And then some days I think, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready for a world in which Kamala Harris can say, I propose benefits for vets with bad paper. I'm just not ready for that world. Now, for those of you that may be saying to yourselves, well, why is this a problem? What's, I mean, they served, didn't they, Dave? Yeah, they did. And this, as I've said on numerous occasions, well, at least last Friday, this kind of makes sense if you're just following, you know, the basic outline of what she says. It kind of makes sense. Hey, she wants everybody that served in the military and got out since 2001. By the way, 13% of discharges have been what are loosely called bad paper discharges. That is, other than honorable or medical discharges. So you're talking about 13% of all the people that have served in the military since 2001 were kicked out or not retained, I guess is the phrase they use now, not recommended for retention. And so if they get an honorable discharge, fine, but if they don't, well, why didn't they get that honorable discharge? And the truth of the matter is that most people who don't get honorable discharges do a pretty good job of earning that. They didn't just not get an honorable discharge. You follow? Sometimes it's hard to explain to people, but you earn the discharge that you get. And it's kind of hard sometimes not to earn an honorable discharge. I mean, really, all you got to do is what you agreed to do. You signed a contract that said, I will do this. I will, you know, follow these orders. I will do this school. I will do this job. I will go there because I've agreed to do it. And that's pretty much it. Now, again, it can be dangerous. It can be frustrating. It can be irritating. It can be angering. It can be hard. But we all agree to do it. And in order to earn that bad paper discharge, somewhere along the way, you've had to not keep your word. See what I'm driving at here? So you did something that violated your contract. Well, if you're Antonio Brown and you violate your contract, what happens? You get released by the Raiders, traded by the Steelers, or dumped by the Patriots, right? I mean, even the most talented wide receiver in the entire world isn't worth all that hassle. I'm pretty sure that some third-class petty officer somewhere who doesn't keep his agreements isn't worth the hassle. And at the same time, the military has not just standards, but the problem with people like that is they become infectious. They become problematic. They become focal points of resentment. If, let's just call him Petty Officer Jones, isn't doing his job, or Seaman Jones or whatever, isn't doing his job because he's being a bad problem, and Petty Officer Smith or Seaman Smith or whomever has to do that, now has to take on that job too, they become resentful of that fact. And you know, human nature being what it is, people get pissed off. Why do I have to do this? He's not doing anything. Well, Jones or Smith, whichever one, Jones, right? The first one ends up with a bad paper discharge, and he doesn't get the benefits that Petty Officer Smith, who did his job and took on Jones's job as well, earns in the process of doing so. It's a pretty simple concept, but along comes Kamala Harris, and she's decided that, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to give everybody all these bad paper discharges. We're going to give all of these people VA benefits. And one of the things you don't get if you get a bad paper discharge is you're not eligible in most cases. Now, there are some exceptions, and I understand that. But as a general rule, you're not going to be eligible for VA care. Now, consider that 13% of all the military people since 2001 have received bad paper discharges. I'm kind of curious about that number because I wonder if it's a higher percentage now than it used to be. That's just the old man in me stepping on a pop top and wondering if times were different back then, because I don't remember that many people getting bad conduct discharges. But And let me say this with some reticence, I guess. I served in a service where part of the service where people were a little more motivated and a little more willing to go that extra mile. And I acknowledge that fact. I wonder what the difference is. And I wonder, you know, how that has changed through the years and whether or not that's still the same. But she wants to put all of those people who have been discharged under other than honorable circumstances back on the VA system, thus providing for them the medical care that they supposedly need. And on the surface of this, people go, well, ooh, that sounds great. Okay. But there's a couple of problems here. And when people are listening to politicians slow jam the news and talk about how they're going to put $500 in your pocket, well, that sounds great, doesn't it? Until you start wondering where that $500 is coming from. Where did they get this $500 to give me and my neighbor and my other neighbor? I mean, I don't have $500 to give my neighbor. Do you? So if none of us have the $500 to give our neighbor, where's Kamala Harris getting the $500 to give all these millions of people throughout the country? You start thinking about these things and you start going, wait a sec. How do you open this again? What? This doesn't work. Well, when you start thinking about these people with bad conduct discharges and you start thinking about, well, number one, okay, let's just assume numbers here and think about some things here. Number one, does every honorably discharged veteran automatically get VA care? Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? The answer to that question is no. Every honorably discharged veteran does not automatically qualify for VA care. You have to meet certain conditions in order to get that VA care. Number one, you got to have a certain medal, a Medal of Honor. You have to have been a prisoner of war. You have to have extremely low income. You know, if you're on the poverty scale, you have to be disabled in some way that's service connected. You have to meet certain conditions. Just because you got an honorable discharge doesn't mean you're eligible for VA care. Did you know that? Do you think Kamala Harris knows that? Moreover, most, and this is pure assumption on my part, but most people who are honorably discharged go on. Oh, by the way, you could be retired too. You have to be retired. But even then, there's still restrictions on it. Most people who are honorably discharged, they got their stuff together. I mean, they get out of the military and they go on to a full-time job somewhere because they're probably pretty young. I could have retired at 37. Do you realize that? I could have retired literally 20 years ago almost. But point being that they generally speaking have some sort of plan in life. They're going to go on and do something else. And that something else usually comes with some form of benefits, including health care. So they don't even need the VA system. And I would guess that the vast majority of honorably discharged veterans are in that position. And yet the VA system is still overloaded, isn't it? There's still too many veterans that need that care and not enough VA care to provide for it, isn't it? Now we come to the bad discharge people who, generally speaking, are they're problematic. I mean, they're people that do not have their stuff together and are unlikely to be, let's face it, generally successful in life, certainly not as successful as other than honorably people. And I realize that's a generalization, but as usual, when I generalize, I don't really care. What's the likelihood that the percentage of people who are other than honorable need medical care more than the honorables? I would say it's probably significantly higher. So it's not just a 13% increase on the amount of people in the VA system that's already overloaded. See? It's going to be even higher than that because the new pipeline of people that she's putting into this are more likely to need it. So let's say 50% of the other than honorables need this. You're going to swamp a VA system that's already swamped. And how is she going to pay for this? What's her plan? She has no plan to do this. All she's saying is, hey, look at me. I care about people. Because I'm Kamala Harris, I care about them, and I want to make them happy. And this will make them happy, and therefore, Ta-da! See, it's fair. Now, look, I know people that were in the military that got other than honorable discharges that should not have. That I know this will surprise everybody, but there is politics in the military, and I get that. A lot of it is unnecessary. I had a very good friend of mine who was, I don't know, I even know how to describe it. John was, he was probably the best fire controlman I ever met, other than myself, of course, and really had a personality that was, I mean, John loved everybody and everybody loved John. He was a great teacher. He was a good fire controlman, and he never caused a problem once in his life. And then all of a sudden, one day he began to change. He was up for chief petty officer. He made the board, I think, as I recall things. And he started getting very gruff with people, started being very short with people, very angry with people. And people just sort of assumed that it was because he was stressed out about the chief's board. But it got worse and worse and worse, to the point where one day he literally snapped in the office and he went off on people in a way that he would never have done, ever. He started talking about things that were just bizarre, hallucinations. He was in the office one day and was talking about something over in the corner that he was seeing. And can you get rid of that? Can you help with that? It was strange. And it was clear that he was having mental problems. And he went to sick call. They put him in the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. They couldn't physically find anything wrong with him. So they sent him back to work. He was getting worse and worse and worse. They finally committed him to the mental ward at the Naval Hospital there. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Literally, other than the fact that he was losing his brains. And eventually, shortly before I got out, I mean, I was in the process of going through my discharge, when they informed him that they were going to discharge him other than honorable, because it was clear that he was mentally ill, and you've gone too far. Your behavior is outrageous. Come to find out, his next door neighbor upstairs was an aerographer's mate on the USS Enterprise. And when this guy had left the ship, he took a souvenir with him, a barometer / thermometer that he had taken with him because, you know, I want to remember my ship, and he put it in his closet. Now, you know anything about barometers and thermometers? What do they have in them? Mercury. And it was leaking right down into John's apartment. The guy was freaking mercury poisoned by someone else who had no business doing this at all. And in the upshot of it is, John, as far as I know, now again, I wasn't there when it was resolved, and I don't know what the end of it was, but I know they were talking about giving him a dishonorable discharge because of his behavior while he was being freaking mercury poisoned. Now, Are there exceptions to the rule? Sure, there are exceptions to the rule. There are always exceptions to the rule. There are always reasons why someone can be dishonorably discharged and shouldn't have been. And there are ways in the VA system of getting that rectified. But Kamala Harris's plan is simply to, it's like putting $500 in everybody's pocket. She's just going to overload a system that's already overloaded. And everybody says, oh, that makes sense. That sounds so fair, so wonderful. And nobody's thinking. And the times have changed. There was a time when people would have said to her, you're being stupid. That's not going to work. You're pandering. You're outrageously wrong about this. Somebody would have said that to her. Somebody would have pulled her aside and said, in the old times, would have said, no. But times have changed. And we have been changed by the times. And now people are willing to say, yeah, well, that makes sense. Late night talk shows are willing to put her on the air and let her, you know, slow jam the news and talk about how she's thinking about you at 3 a.m. Which is oddly appropriate when you consider Kamala Harris's history, isn't it? He said, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I don't know. I don't know what's happened to us. Like a pop top from old soda can, it's like we've forgotten how to do things. And in the process of forgetting how to do things, we're going to screw things up even worse. Adding all those people to the VA system is not going to work. She's not going to fix the VA system. She wants to destroy it. And somebody needs to say that to her. I'll say it to you. Kamala Harris, you're trying to destroy the VA system that's already overloaded. She ain't going to listen to me, though. Because this is a fake podcast. Did you know that? Fake. Phony. It's been declared that by the GOP. Well done, me. I got to get going. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities you don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. This is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. I'm off to see the doctor. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.